Good morning. It is great to be with you all this morning. And something I think I do this quite often, probably more often than I really want to or intend to, but I changed my topic based on something that's just been happening. And I had a sermon that was prepared a few weeks ago. Of course, I had to be out of town to go back with my family, but then it was just the other day, I think maybe Friday, was I got to thinking, and somebody had brought something up. They had mentioned something. So one of my coworkers, I really just work with three other guys right now. That's kind of my crew. And one of them, he was upset about some little stuff. And the other guy, he just told him, he said, you know, just don't worry about it. You know, he was being upset about some little stuff that didn't really matter. But he said, nothing in life really matters. You know, it's all just, we're all just here and then we leave. And to me, it sounded a lot like Ecclesiastes. And I think I've probably mentioned this before. Ecclesiastes is one of my favorite books. I think that was the first big, first full class I might have taught here at West Broad, if I remember correctly. But Ecclesiastes is definitely one of my favorite books. And to look at that and to see how the writer, who I believe is Solomon, even looked at life that way, that maybe there is just no point to life at all. What is the purpose? And you know, and so, of course, I even spoke up in that moment to tell him, well, there is a purpose to life. Why are we here if there is no purpose? And in fact, I think that's one of the things that keeps my faith intact. Of course, I think morality might be the biggest one for me to really show, you know, if there is no God, then how can there be morality? But I think purpose, that there has to be some purpose of us living here. What is the purpose? What is the point to us living here? You know, like what are we doing? And it's a question that I think rises up in a lot of people's minds. I think everyone probably thinks of this at some point in their life about what our purpose is. What is my purpose? Of course, I think whenever you're going through high school, you start to think, what is my purpose in life? What is my goals? You know, what am I going to be doing with my life as far as my career goes? But then there's also a time where we all step back and say, what am I doing here? What is my entire life's purpose? Am I doing any good? Am I doing any bad? Is there even a point to me even trying to do good? And of course, us as Christians recognize that there's something for us to fall back on. There's something for us to look at and to point to, and that is that there is a purpose. And Christianity tells us that there's a greater purpose than what a lot of people who don't believe in God and don't practice Christianity, we understand that there's more of a purpose than what they would even lead us to believe. But I want to kind of take a look at that purpose and try to see what it is that our purpose is, especially as Christians, and just overall what our purpose and whenever we're reaching out to others to help them understand what the purpose and what the meaning of just life itself is and what we're supposed to be doing in this life. And I think it's something that it's definitely something that I needed to kind of search through and to kind of dive into to kind of remind myself, and so hopefully it can be helpful to you as well. And I won't have any slides up behind me. I do apologize. I got too lazy to make a PowerPoint, but I'll make sure to repeat the scriptures as I go through them. First one is going to be in Ecclesiastes, and just taking a look at Ecclesiastes and the way that Ecclesiastes starts. The writer starts in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and I'm going to jump down to verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and starting in verse 13 says, "And I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind." So he says, I have searched by wisdom. This is a very wise man, and he's been searching, and he's been looking at everything and just trying to understand everything that happens under the sun. And he says that this is an unhappy business that God has given man to be busy with. And how true that is, because, like I said, I think every man has to think to themselves and just start to look around and wonder what is going on all around us and wonder what this life is really for and what this life really means. And the Ecclesiastes writer, he has a struggle that he's not alone in, but a struggle of trying to understand and trying to look around and seeing how if there is nothing to live for, then this is all just vanity. It's all just striving after wind. And if you turn over to Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, it says, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand." Again, more wisdom being poured out. Proverbs, definitely a great book to go to find that wisdom. And it says here that many are the plans of the mind of a man. A man is constantly thinking of new plans, and it's always just kind of, a lot of times our plans may not really mean much. Sometimes our plans might be just sitting around and watching football on a Saturday, which is coming up soon. But, you know, that's just a lot of stuff that really doesn't mean anything. It's something fun to fulfill our time, maybe, but it really doesn't have a whole lot of meaning when we really look at the purpose of life and we look at things like that. Well, what, if that doesn't really have a meaning, if that doesn't really do anything for my life, then what is that purpose? And what purpose should I be looking for? And there in Proverbs it says, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God's purpose, His will, that's the purpose that we ought to be looking for. That's what our plans should evolve around or revolve around, is looking at the Lord's purpose, looking at what He wants for us. And so taking a look and seeing what God wants for His creation. Take a look at what God has told for His creation to do. That's ultimately what our purpose has to be. That's the only thing that can give us purpose. And if we look at what's very famously known as the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And I'm going to start in verse 18. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, "And Jesus came to them, all authority, He came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.'" So there we could say that our purpose, after finding that purpose, may be to go out and spread the word. But what about for those who we're spreading to? What about for those who maybe haven't been given that purpose yet? There in verse 20 it says that we're supposed to be teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. "Behold, I am with you always to the end of age." So teaching them to observe. So one of the purposes, or I guess one of the things that kind of helps us in that purpose, that to find purpose in this life, to find any kind of meaning in this life, is to observe. And what are we to observe? Jesus says to observe all that He has commanded us, or all that He has commanded to the people on that day, and for that to spread onto the generations, for us to see the commands that we've been given, to observe Jesus Himself, to observe what He did while He was here on this earth, what He did in His lifetime, in His ministry, and all that He did, to observe Jesus, because that is the ultimate example. That is what we ought to be observing, is to see Jesus and to see what He has done and see what He has taught, to observe Him. Backing up in Matthew, go back to Matthew chapter 6. Backing up to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. It says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." In verse 33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So when we think about there being no purpose, a lot of times it just seems that, you know, if we don't have God in our life, there's no meaning to this life, then it's constantly worrying about what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, what we're going to have, you know, where we're going to sleep. Are we going to have a shelter over our head? And it's just a nonstop, repetitive circle of having to worry about things that Jesus says not to worry about. Jesus says, don't worry about them, because what we ought to be worrying about is seeking after the kingdom of God. He says in verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek that. Don't worry so much about what you're going to do in your physical life to take care of yourself physically, but think about your spiritual self. That is what's going to give you purpose. That's what's going to give you meaning in this life, is to focus on the spiritual rather than the physical. Don't be thinking about all of these things, because God knows what you need. If you seek that kingdom, when you seek and you find that kingdom and God's righteousness, and you seek and you fight and you strive and you follow after that, you're giving yourself purpose. There's a guy I used to work with. Him and I had a lot of really, really good discussions revolving really around Christianity. And, you know, him and I were talking, you know, because there's one guy that we would work with that would always kind of make fun of us for talking. You know, we would talk about, you know, maybe something that was brought up in a Bible class recently, or we would just kind of talk just randomly about godly things. And this one guy would kind of tease us a little bit. He meant it all in good humor, but he'd always tease us about it. But then that same guy always seemed that, you know, because he wasn't really much of a believer at all. And that same guy would always have problems in his life. He'd always be angry about something. He'd always have something that, you know, he just was always trying to catch up and try to worry too much about the worldly things all around him. And it's, again, this cycle, this never-ending cycle. Him and I both kind of looked at each other one day and we said, you know, isn't it funny how you look around in the world and it seems like all the angriest people, all the people who really have a lot of things to be upset about, don't have God in their life. And it's true in the sense that you look and you see they don't have any purpose for their life. Just like when we back up and we look at the Ecclesiastes writer, we can see that he had all of the things in the world. He had all of the riches in the world. He had money. He had women. He had anything he desired. If he could set his eyes on it, he could obtain it. He could have it. It was his. That still wasn't enough for him. That wasn't enough. That didn't give him any purpose. Because he would take in all of the food. He would take in all of the physical great things that he could get. And he still felt empty. He still felt that he was missing something. He didn't have that purpose. He didn't have anything to strive for. And what is that purpose? That's something that they're going to be, someone who doesn't have God is going to be constantly searching for, is what that purpose is. And without understanding that where they need to look is for the kingdom, without understanding that, they won't find purpose in their life. They won't find any kind of meaning to this life. Everything in this life is vanity, and everything is just striving after wind. Everything is just completely meaningless. Looking down at Mark chapter 12, if you want to turn there with me. Mark chapter 12. We actually just studied this not too long ago in Bible class. Mark chapter 12 and verse 28, it says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' And Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" So first, starting off there with first thing Jesus says is that the most important is to hear. He's quoting, but he says to hear, O Israel. So first for us, hear, O Christian. Or if we're not Christians yet, so just hear. Hear the word. Observe it. See what has been written for you to observe, and to take it in. Not just to hear in the sense that you can hear it and you're just going to ignore it, but to hear it and to pay attention, to listen to what's being told to you. Hear it. And also to, I guess, in the context here, to hear that the Lord our God, and that there's only one God. He is only one. There isn't multiple, there's not a multiple choice that we can kind of pick and choose which one we're going to follow. There's only one. But then he says that once you understand that, once you have heard and you understand that there's that God, he says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So what is our purpose? Well, what better one to go to for an answer than the one who created us, the one who has given us that purpose? Go to Him and look to Him and recognize Him and to love Him. Not just to love Him, but to give everything you have. I think it's interesting to see how it's brought up to love with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength, basically taking every aspect of you physically and giving that up. Every aspect mentally and giving that up. You are giving all of your love to the one who created you. And that is really the focal point of any purpose, any meaning that we have, especially as Christians, to recognize that we have to give that love up to our Creator, to give that love up to the one and only God. So to look at that and to see that, but then also he says, the second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. So also not just keeping that love between you and God and keeping that relationship to where it's only you and Him and you keep that within yourself, but also you're showing that love out to your neighbor, to show your neighbor that you have a love with your Creator, and that Creator is also your Creator, and we need to share that love together, and that we're going to love that neighbor in the sense that we're going to help them. We're going to help them in whatever manner it takes to help them, but then especially when it comes to understanding and to hear and to understand and to observe that we have a God. We have a Creator. We have someone who has given us purpose, and there is a purpose. So to love God with everything you have and to show that love that you have with God to your neighbor and to express that also to your neighbor, to those around you. Incredibly important for us to remember when looking at the purpose that we have and what meaning we might have here on this earth. And also over in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." We are His workmanship. We were made by God. And I thought I had put another scripture in with this one, but that's going to come up here in just a moment. But just to recognize that we are God's workmanship, that He had created us. He created us to do good works. And He says that He created all of this so that we could walk in them. So what is our purpose? To observe these good things, to observe Jesus and to observe all that He has done, but then also to observe God and to observe, again, kind of backing up to our love, to observe that love between us and God, to observe the love that He's shown to us, to reach that love back out towards Him, but then also that we should walk in all these things that we're observing. And of course, by walking in them, that we show that love back to God. And we are also going to be showing that love to our neighbor. And the list goes on. So to find purpose, we have to walk in all of these things that we are going to observe. To recognize that we are created by God, that we are His workmanship, that we are not our own, but we are His. To recognize that. So after we've observed, after we've taken these things in, we've pulled all of that in, then what? Well, in Romans chapter 12, we see in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So after we have observed these things, we can't simply observe them and then just ignore them. We can't observe them and recognize that they're there but not do anything to act upon it, but we need to observe them and be transformed. He says there in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world." Don't let this world take you and mold you, because, again, backing up to Ephesians chapter 2, we're not the world's clay. We haven't been formed by the world. We're not going to be conformed by the world, but we are going to be conformed to really be transformed. Transformed into this new person. We're going to be transformed, and it's going to be in a way that we're going to be testing. We're going to test all of the things, and again, this is still observing. It doesn't mean that we're now transformed and now we don't have to observe. We know it all now. We can step back and we can recognize that we know everything. No, that's not the case. We still observe and we still test the things that we see around us. So that way we can know and we can decide and decipher between what is the will of God and what is not. So that we can understand what is good and what is not, what is acceptable and perfect in God's eyes and what's not. So for us to observe these things, to recognize them and to pull them in, and then also to let that observation transform us to become the creation that God wants us to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Really, throughout 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he's going through and listing off a lot of these things that can flood our life. A lot of these things that can come into our life and destroy our relationship with God. A lot of immoral things. Even verse 9 and 9 through 11 or so, he lists off many things that we can look at and to see all of these things that could destroy our lives. But rather, we're not going to let those destroy our lives. Instead, we're going to be transformed. We're going to grow closer to God. We're not going to let those things separate us from Him. But in verse 19, it says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Do you not know that you are not your own? You are God's. You are His creation. Everything you are, everything you have, was given to you by God. So we need to recognize that. Recognize also in verse 20 that we were bought with a price. We were bought with a price. And so because of these things, because we were loved so much, our purpose in this life is to be transformed into glorify God in our body. And specifically, he's talking about this because if you back up there in verse, just in the verses prior to this, he's talking about sexual immorality and these sins that are defiling your own body. And to recognize that all of the sins that we could commit, they are all things that can separate us from God, but sexual sins, these sexual immorality, these are things that they're not just something that separate us spiritually, but they're also something that defile our body. So to recognize that body is something that is special, this body that we have, it's something that was given to us by God. It was crafted by God. And also to recognize that for us to live this life, we had to be bought with a price. And because of all of these things, because we were given this, because we were given this life, because we were given whatever it is that we have in this life, we ought to glorify Him in all that we do. So to be transformed. And the purpose for being transformed is to then recognize what would happen if we aren't transformed, if we aren't changing our lives. I'd like to go back to Ecclesiastes, but instead of the beginning part, I would like to jump down to the end. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 says, "The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil." So here Ecclesiastes really kind of sums it up all right there at the end. Ecclesiastes writer says that all has been heard, that this is the end matter, that we need to fear God and keep His commandments. And the reason for this, the reason for observing and seeing all that God has set in place for us and to transform our lives, the reason for doing this is to understand that there will be a judgment. And that judgment will come, and that judgment will reveal all secret things, whether they're good or evil. And you're going to be judged based on those things. So we may look around in this life and see that there's a lot of things that aren't going to make any sense of why we would do them. There's a lot of things that really don't have a lot of purpose. And without God, we start to look around at life, and when we, much like the Ecclesiastes writer, and we start to see all of the things that happen in this world, we start to look at it and we see that, you know, the seasons change. We see time rolling, and we see that people live and then they die. And we see just a circle that doesn't make any sense without God. We see no purpose. But when we dive into it and we understand that there's something greater than just what we can see, what we can physically see, there's something greater to it. There's something greater that the eye can't observe. That there's a creator, that there is a God who is there, and he knows you. And he loves you. And we need to recognize that. That we need to see that, and that we need to fear him. We need to keep his commandments. Observe those commandments to keep them. To keep them. Because in the end, there will be a judgment. And so we look at the good and we look at the bad in life, and we recognize these things to understand what the purpose of that good is, or what that bad is. The purpose of that is for that judgment. With all the things that you do, if you keep yourself in the direction that God would have you to go, if you recognize him and you fear him and you keep his commandments and you do good with your life, that's going to be measured. That's going to be given back to you as a reward. But if we don't recognize our purpose in this life, and we don't recognize God for who he is, and we don't fear him, and we don't keep his commandments, and we go on and we live this life and we do evil rather than good, that judgment will come. And we'll also be judged by that. We'll be judged by the bad that we've done. And so to recognize that judgment, and to recognize that that is ahead, that none of us can escape that judgment is going to meet us, and we're going to meet that judgment. If we recognize that, and we see what God has done, what he's given us, the purpose that we have in life through him, that's ultimately what gives us all of this, really any kind of meaning in life, any kind of purpose in life comes through him. I'd like to leave you off with one more scripture here. John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 6, a passage that's probably very well known. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is telling all of his disciples who will see this, hear this, read this, that the way to get to the Father, the way to have purpose in this life, to find that purpose that will ultimately lead you down the path that will bring you good judgment, the only way to get to that good judgment, the only way to find good purpose in this life is to go through him, to recognize him. And again, backing up to that great commission that we read just a moment ago, to recognize that Jesus says for us to observe all of the things that he has done, to recognize him, to observe him. Really, if we stick to just that and we stick to observing Jesus, there's not a whole lot of, there's not many ways that we could go wrong. So for us to observe him, to recognize that he has given us a purpose. And that purpose is to do good. That purpose is to do good because we know that there is a judgment coming. So maybe if you need help, we always like to give any sort of invitation to those who would like to maybe change something that they're doing in their life. Maybe you haven't become a Christian yet. Whatever the case may be, we want you to know that we are here for you. And I think I say this just about every time I stand up here, but we gather together to be a family, to be here for one another. We gather here so that we have the opportunity to see each other, to grow and to strengthen each other. So if there's something that you found is getting you maybe down, maybe you're feeling weak in a specific aspect, or maybe just overall, you don't know what it is, but you're feeling weak in your faith. Maybe you're having a hard time finding that purpose in life. And maybe you're just having a hard time fulfilling that purpose. Whatever the case is, we want you to know that we are here for you. We want you to know that door is always open for really just about everyone here. I think I could speak for especially all of the leaders in this congregation, that we are always here. We're always a phone call away. We're always right there on the other side. That's the great thing about today's technology, is that you're just a few clicks away from hearing somebody's voice. So if you need help in fulfilling that purpose, and whatever it is that you have in your life, we want you to know that we are here for you now. We want you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing this song of encouragement.